Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Houston Bigfoot. This is Dr. John Stamey. Hope everybody's doing well tonight. We got a great show tonight and everything. We got Kyler Smith and Matt Dell. So, Kyler, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. A little tired, but I'm doing good.
Well, that's great. We got a great show lined up, and you know, and all that. So, you know, we got a lot of good things to talk about. Last night, we had a great scary cast because what we did is we talked about the Bladenboro monster and some other things with our buddy John LeMay, the great paranormal author. And so it was really cool having John on there. And so, you know, we talked about the Bladenboro monster, and we talked about the fact that it might certainly be a shapeshifter and the fact that it might have blood-sucking kind of qualities, which was kind of interesting. And of course, tonight, I told Matt Delk we wanted to talk a little bit about some monsters that are blood-suckers. And he said, sure, I know some stories, which is great. So, Matt, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, good. We're glad to hear. And, yeah, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the idea that there are some monsters who are around, and they have blood-sucking qualities. They're called they're bloodsuckers is what they are. And you've got some potential monsters that you can tell us about, don't you?
Yeah. The one that he's talking about, actual bloodsuckers, it's the whole thing with the vampire rut from Big Stone Gap. It really... it's really got me looking at some different stuff after doing some research on that whole incident back in the 1890s.
So tell us a little bit about the lore of the bloodsucker up there, because that's kind of what's important for what we're thinking about here.
Well, it was back in the 1890s, Big Stone Gap, big mining town. At the time, they had the people come from Europe, and they had all over the place, you know, the people were settling over here in America, and they had, of course, you know, you had all your coal miners coming from everywhere. Well, in that little town, they had this one Englishman, and they called him Rupp. I don't know what his, if that was his full name or his, just his last name, but they called him by Rupp. Well, they noticed that whenever he came to town, he kind of stayed away from a lot of the people. He would, you know, make his presence in town and stuff, you know, but he wasn't real sociable. Well, they noticed that the whole, the livestock and stuff like that started coming up dead, and it was drained of blood. There was livestock, pets, animals. Well, of course, that raised some concern. So... they were kind of on the lookout, everybody was, you know, what is causing this, such as chaos, you know, with these animals, what's killing these things and draining the blood. Well, later on, there was a gentleman that was a town drunk. He was found a mile from this guy Rupp's cabin, and he was completely drained of blood. So
that was the first human.
Yeah, I believe that was the first human that they had recognized at the time that had been drained of blood. He was the first victim that they had noticed. And then later on, there was a guy that come in, and you know how they used to panhandle stuff like the snake oil and the tonics and stuff. Well, this salesman come in there, and he was doing that, and he was... of course, you know, doing the whole tonic and stuff. Well, he come up missing. They found him about a mile away from Rupp's cabin, drained of blood. So then after that, the body count was piling up over time, I guess. And still, you know, some of the livestock stuff too. Well, these two boys one day kind of were curious, and they had followed Rupp back to his went back to his cabin, and they peeked in his window, and they said it was like a house of horrors. It was like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or something. There was blood everywhere, body parts, just nasty. And they said that he was in there drinking this blood. I don't know if he was consuming the meat or what, but for sure they said they, you know, story says that he was drinking the blood. Well, so they go back and tell the townspeople what they had seen. So the town people, they gather up, they get them a little posse, and they all march to Rupp's cabin, and Rupp wasn't there, but everything the boys had told them they had witnessed, it was all right there in front of them, so they had all the evidence they needed. And, of course, you know, back in those days, they evil, stuff like that, so they burn it, you know, they burnt the whole cabin down. But they never did find Rupp again. So he just disappeared after that, supposedly. He could still be lurking around there, but he wasn't known. He wasn't back in the town or anything like that, and they never did know what happened to him. And that was what really intrigued me about the whole vampire stuff, because then I was watching, they did a documentary, and they were talking about how in Romania all these vampire hunters had come there, and these vampires had fled all over the world. So these supposedly these cattle mutilations and stuff like had happened in Big Stone, they always blame it on UFO alien phenomena. Like if you see these cattle, they're drained of blood, but their eyes and their tongue or whatever was pulled out. Well, they had come to the conclusion that these vampire hunters, whether they are or not, don't know. It kind of made sense. They said that these vampires were smart, and they were living out in the deserts and stuff like that. Well, they would pull out their eyeballs, or they'd do something crazy and make it look like, you know, that's why people always say, hey, this had to be UFOs or aliens that killed this livestock like this and drained them full of blood. But they were doing that to cover their tracks so nobody would think, hey, it's a vampire. So then, and it was kind of funny because they were talking about that in that show, and then, of course, you know, our friend Dale Houston, who goes out on tour a lot, he was telling me a story. He's out in the desert, and he goes to this little place, and he's just outside there in Colorado. These town people, because you get out there in the, you know, you want to know when your next stop's going to be, you know, how far along should I get fuel here, should, you know. And they told him, they said, whatever you do when you're going down that way, they said, pass that next little town or that next little stop. And he's like, why is that? And they said, have you ever seen that movie From Dusk Till Dawn? And he's like, yeah. And they said, that's the real life From Dusk Till Dawn, you know, the vampire show. And so, and he said they was dead serious about it. So he said he just boogied right on past that place. He didn't stop, didn't do nothing. So it started getting me thinking, hey, you know, these little stories and stuff are starting to get in all these common denominators with the livestock, the people missing out in the desert. And so that has really, really stuck with me in this whole vampire thing.
Wow. That is amazing. And I mean, like, what can you say? There seem to be a lot now. There seem to be a lot of stories, and they tend to get a lot of publicity here and there. Was this a story that you were told, kind of on the by and by, or was this a story that you read?
Which one, the Rupp?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I had read that, and I'd actually in my group, Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization, had put the article. There's many articles. One of them had a picture, I believe, of him. I don't know if it's a real picture or not. But, yeah, it's written in several different things. You know, a lot of the town people, they said it was by what they called the Red Spring, and I'd like to find out where the Red Spring is, because that would be interesting. I want to see if there's actual cabin, you know, if we have a foundation for where the cabin was, and that right there is going to be physical proof that something, you know, at least part of the story was correct.
Well, yeah. And do you think it would be possible to get a copy of that story?
Yeah, it's on Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization. It's on my Facebook group. I can put a copy also on ScaryCast.
If you would please put a copy of that, because we are trying to put some of these stories together, especially the vampire stories. Who are these creatures? Are they bloodsuckers? Are they animals? Are they, I would say, men-like, you know, or human-like creatures, or what? So we're trying to put this together. So any way that you could get me a copy of that would be absolutely wonderful. So you think you could do that? That'd be great. Now, Kyler, do you have any stories like that that you'd like to share with us?
Not really. I mean, I grew up watching the vampire movies. I think Blade was one of them. I think maybe Resident Evil was one of them. Just all those types of genres of movies, and I loved them, but I never really thought that they actually could possibly be real. I've never seen anything like that. I've never heard of a story in any of the towns I lived in, thank God. But I kind of run with Matt on this one. Like, it would be really cool to see if this place actually existed where, you know, this is a spot where they are. Now, I don't want to hang out there all the time, but it'd just be cool to drive by and look at it. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So, Matt, it seems like to me there's one more vampire story from up there in your area near Ewing. Is that correct?
Not toward Ewing. I've kind of got a vampire story. It's a great conversation piece. I've got my very own vampire trapped in a bottle, supposedly. You remember I was talking to you about it a while back. There was this gold mining prospector that went up to Alaska during the gold rush, and these female vampires supposedly had bit him, and he had changed. And so all these, he was attacking all these miners stuff. Well, supposedly there were some vampire hunters up there. If you invite a vampire in, then they're allowed to come inside your home or wherever. Well, they had invited him into this bottle, and for some reason he had to go into it, so he turned into a mist. Well, they corked the bottle and trapped him in there. So this bottle that I have, supposedly, is a vampire from, it was corked in 1997, and it says, do not open. Like I said, it's a great conversation piece. But as far as being corked up in the bottle, I don't know if that's true or not. I've never opened this bottle. But if that was true, but I do believe the coal mining, or not coal mining, but the gold mine, whenever he went up there, where they got the original story from, where he had been bitten and he had went, you know, after these others. And so they had to do something to help, you know, get rid of him. And they trapped him in a bottle, so they figured out that they invited these things in, they could trap him in a bottle. But like I said, it's just a great conversation piece, whether I believe it or not, whether there's a vampire in the bottle. No, you know, it's just a way for them to make money off a cool, pretty cool story. So they've got it so that they can sell. But yeah, it's but the gold mining was a pretty cool story. But as far as that area, Big Stone, no, not vampire, just him. But you've got different stories witchcraft, witches, different things like that in that same area. And if you've ever noticed, all this stuff kind of, you know, the same energy, it all conjures in the same area. So that, I think, is pretty interesting as well.
Well, it really is. So what are some of the witch stories, or do you have any of those at your disposal?
I was finding out about a witch that supposedly there was a family or something, and they kind of got murdered or something. I don't know for sure. But her grave is actually probably about not even 10 minutes from my house. And I had went there, when was it? It was a few weeks ago. I had went there to see if I could view her actual grave. And the tombstone is supposed to have, it's an unmarked graveyard, but it was so grown up, I'm going to have to wait till fall to get in there to actually look for it. But they told me that the headstone has a pentagram on it, and it says something about a witch, and that being a witch, and it was buried there. But you've also got all these relics and stuff around that whole area. You've got Indian burial mounds there. You've got all kinds of ghost stories from the caves there where the Civil War. So you got vampires, ghosts, witches. I think Skinwalker, possibly. I had an encounter with something. I believe I talked about it once before. It was really odd. I still got the voicemail that this thing had left. It was just a strange incident, if you believe in Skinwalker.
Matt, we're lucky to have you still around with us.
Yeah. Now, what was kind of cool was, okay, it was Friday the 13th, 2019. It's September 13th, 2019. Was today the 13th?
It is, surprisingly.
Yeah, it is. The same day, 2019. It was a Friday then. It was a full moon. And I had come back from Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and I just come into the Cumberland Gap National Park going up into Virginia. And at the time, I was on the phone with a girl I was talking to. And as I come up around the curve, there's this wolf-looking thing. I mean, it's a mangy-looking dog, and I about hit it, so I slam on my brakes. I'm talking to her on the phone. I'm like, what the F is that? Slam on the brakes. And she's like, what is it? And I said, I don't know, some kind of mangy-looking mutt. And it gave me this dirty look, like, watch out, buddy, you know. And as soon as it jumped into the woods, I get a phone call on my phone, and it says, unknown. Now, anytime I get a phone call, if somebody blocks their number, it will say restricted. If I don't have them in the contact, it'll always show the phone number. It never says unknown on my phone. That's the only phone call that says unknown. And so, like I said, if they block it, it'll say restricted. Well, it's ringing, of course. I was on the phone, so I didn't answer it. So this voicemail, it left a voicemail. And that voicemail, it sounds like a Native American, like, yelling or screaming or something. And it happened immediately as soon as that wolf-looking thing jumped into the edge of the woods, and I got that phone call. And it was on a Friday the 13th. It was a full moon, which I believe was the wolf full moon or something like that. And that thing was right there in front of me, and it jumped in there, and I still got the voicemail. We played it backwards and stuff on the computer. It can't make out. At first, I thought it was somebody sneezing. They're like, yahoo! And then we're like, no, because we played it backwards and forward. Yeah, and it screams. I mean, it's like, ah! And it sounds Native American. Is that not strange?
A little bit, for sure.
I mean, and then I had I seen a light. I took a picture of it. There was one time with a light, just a flame burning on the side of the road. It was up above, kind of covering. There wasn't nothing in that same area, not too far from there. or the flame. It was talking to Jessica Jones, actually, on the telephone then, and it was on a full moon night, Friday the 13th, and I believe it was last year, and there was a flame. It was just burning. I was like, well, that's awful odd. And I said, hold on. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm taking a picture of this. So I take a picture of it, and I didn't think much about it. I figured somebody's burning, you know, one of those, what do you call those little lights that are on the side? Gosh, you know what I'm talking about, to keep mosquitoes and stuff away. Tiki lights, tiki torches, what it kind of reminds you of the flame. And that next day, I went down by there, and I was like, I wonder why somebody's doing that out in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing around there, nothing completely around that area. Nothing.
Okay, well, that is really an interesting story. I mean, you know, these things pop up all the time, don't they, man?
Yeah, and it's always usually in the same area. Yep, I got a picture of the flame, and then I go back and I'm trying to match up. I'm like, well, it's right here, but there's nothing here. Nothing what would be burning just in the middle of the air like that. I've never seen that before, not a flame just like, it wasn't on the ground, it was up above the ground, like it was, you know, suspended in air, but it was burning, but there wasn't nothing there. And I even got the picture of it.
Really?
Yep. It's nuts.
Well, if you're able to, shoot us that picture and we'll put that up on Scary.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Because I can say all of our fans would be very interested in this. So, Matt, what else have you got? You've always got good stories. So what's another story that you've got about things that are going strangely in the area?
In this area? I had learned about, actually, okay, the cave. There's a cave system along there in the mountains. Well, this cave, I believe it was Thomas Markham that had written the story. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure it was him. But he had recorded this. And they used to call it Cujo's Cave. And they used it for the Civil War. During that time, they would go in there, and they had like what they called a ballroom inside this cave. This cave's massive, and it's really haunted. The park rangers will tell you whenever they're doing a tour, they will see a soldier or something. They'll stop it in the middle of the tour, and they'll tell the people, like, hey, look over here. We got this and this, until that apparition vanishes, so they don't have to, let the people see it and freak out and end up getting hurt inside this cave. But they say that they had stopped, because I've actually talked to them. And this was back in the 80s, and there was tours at the day when it was still called Cujo's Cave. They changed it to Cumberland Gap Cave now, but it used to be called Cujo's Cave. And you would have to cross this highway and go up to this huge door. Well, they would sell tickets across from it to, for you to go through your tour of the cave. Well, once you get in there, and it used to have lights in there. They took the lights out now, but it had lights in there at the time. And they would give a tour, and they'd come back out, and they would lock that door. They'd chain it up. Well, there was an LMU student from Lincoln Memorial University there. It's probably 10 minutes away from the area that college is. A student was on the tour, and he lagged behind. And as they left, they locked him up. So he's locked up in there. They chain it up, and they turn out the lights in there. So this guy is stuck in there all night long. And at first, he's, like, trying to struggle. Well, he just had a little bit of light. I can't remember if he had a lighter or what he had, or a little bit of light. Well, he's in there. He hears something moving around in there. So he kind of gets scared. He's kind of hunkering down there in the dark. And this voice comes out to him, says, what are you doing in my cave? And he didn't answer. He said, you can't hide from me. What are you doing in my cave? And then when he lit this little light or whatever, he had seen this. It was a former slave. And he come walking up to him, and he'd sit down. And, of course, this kid's like terrified. But as time went on, I guess he kept talking. And so he finally got the boy, you know, a little bit relaxed. And he talked to him for a good while, and he was telling him about some stuff that something to do with his family back in North Carolina. Well, by the time the sun come up, they open up the cave to start their tour. As soon as they open up that door, that boy comes flying out of there. And supposedly, where everybody thought he was nuts, where he had talked to that guy that was in the cave, the ghost, he went to this area in North Carolina and dug up these relics that only that person would know about to prove that, hey, what he had seen inside that cave. And that's right across from where that skinwalker type dog, whatever it was, that ran out in front of me. Not too far. I mean, it's that same mountain right there across from it.
Did we lose him?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
No, I'm talking about John.
Oh.
No. I was sitting there thinking about the next couple questions I was going to ask, and I was just kind of thinking, and Matt stopped. So we are back here, and we'll say hello, and thanks to everybody on WLSC, AM and FM, Lawrence Conway, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Great to have everyone here. And now, Matt, since you're being the storyteller tonight, do you have another story to share with
them? Now this is what I had went. They call it, this was last summer, I actually did a Facebook Live on the area, since we're into the whole ghost and witches and vampire stuff right now.
Yeah.
I went to this place, they call it Hilly Bend. Well, supposedly inside this church there was, I'm trying to think of how it happened, but they hung a witch there and they buried her there in that area. He had put a curse on them and his family.
Now, Matt, I'm going to give you some advice. Don't hang a witch and bury her in your yard. That's not good for you.
No, it's not. But this, I
guess,
okay.
Everybody, in case you didn't know, that was a little bit of a joke. Okay, Matt, keep going.
But this, the people in this area, this Tilly Bend that I went to, and they were telling me the story, all the locals there, and so I'm doing an investigation there. And so we go up there, we were looking at the tree that she supposedly was hung in, and then I've heard some other people say, no, that wasn't it, it was more out to the woods. But when I was there, I could feel, it felt like an evil presence in the woods next to that graveyard, next to that church. And where they had buried her, they always bury them, I think if you bury them to the east, because when Christ comes back, it's supposed to be from the east, so they buried her towards the west. Now, I'm sitting there, and it felt like something around my ankles kind of burning, and I said, that's kind of weird, and friend of mine was like, what is it? I've got the actual Facebook Live on Mecro. If you scroll way down through there, you'll see it from last year. And I'm like, it's kind of weird. I got a burning around my ankles. And so the person I was with, they Google more of the story, and it says that these witches will try and reach up and grab you by the ankles and pull you down. And I did not know that, but yet I had this burning sensation around my ankles. I didn't know about that till afterwards, which I thought was really wild. I was like, well, something's going on here with my ankles. There was some kind of energy around them. I could feel it. It was very odd. And then whenever she had read, you know, what happens, that these witches will try and pull you down under, it kind of, I was like, well, you know, after you just get done feeling your ankles burning with some kind of energy, trying to figure out what in the world's going on, you're looking around, kind of gives you a little goosebump. But that whole area, you could just feel an evil presence in those woods. It just wasn't a good area. Not good at all. And I believe that is in LJ, Georgia, right there in the Northern Mountains. Of course, that's, you know what happens up there. Yep. Of course, you know what, all kinds of stuff we got going on in the North Georgia Mountains. So it fits right in with it, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
So you've got all this stuff going together. All these high strange events all in the same areas.
There are. You don't want to get up toward Lakemont, I'm going to tell you that. That's dangerous as all get out. It is frightening. So, you know, it's interesting that we do have a lot of very scary areas that multiple people realize that they get these bad feelings from, don't they, Matt?
Yes, they do. I can normally tell. I can walk into an area and tell you if there's something there or not. I can just feel the energy from it, whether it's positive or negative. I can feel a presence most of the time. You can just feel it. A lot of people don't take that into account. They're like, "Oh, you're being paranoid."
And I'll tell you what. I found, when I went to a newspaper office recently, I found 6 Gideon's Bibles, and I got all 6 of them. I said, you know what? They certainly won't hurt. And I advise anyone that goes out and does this to have a couple of copies of the Gideon's Bible with them. I mean, it may be the New Testament and the Psalms and Acts, but for goodness sake, it's a good thing to have with you. Don't you think, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've heard a lot of people talking about, they will say different things from the Bible, Scripture, to try and help, you know, push out the dark with the light.
Exactly. I think you're right. So, you know, we're lucky that you and I feel the same way about some of these things. Bible with you if you're going to go out investigating. It's never the wrong thing to do, is it, Matt?
No, it's not. And it reminds me of a Cheyenne Indian, Barry Webster. A lot of people in the Bigfoot community know him. He was telling me to have a Bigfoot sighting. He said you go out and you pray before you, whenever you get out there, just start praying. And that's every time. He said he's had over 200 and some encounters, and he said he prayed every time he went out. That's after, you know, that's when he had his encounters, after praying. So, you know, all this energy, all these areas, it's all linked together. It's all linked together.
Well, it certainly is, and we appreciate these stories. Now, let me ask you this. We got time for one more good long story. Do you have a recent or semi-recent Bigfoot story you'd like to share with us?
Let me see. Now, I don't know if it's – I can't really say if it's a Bigfoot or not, but that whole area – I keep getting these reports from the up there by the Lee County area, where my great grandpa and grandma used to live. I was there last week actually because of the full moon, so I drove out through there. But I've had a report of a carcass being seen out there, and they said
now,
more canine
now,
like
now,
a dog.
Now hold on, Matt. What kind of a carcass?
Well, they said it looked like canine legs, but it was a lot bigger than like a dog or anything. At first they thought it was a bear, and they had drove on. Well, they, on their way back 20 minutes later, it was gone. So that area, you know, with it being gone, I've had a couple reports of seeing something like that. But they said it looked like it had been whatever it was, hit on the side of the road, but it was a lot bigger. It looked like it had canine back legs. And they couldn't really tell the front, but whenever they come back, and they were only gone for like 20 minutes or whatever, when they come back and it was gone. But that's that whole area is where, like I had talked about before, my great-grandma and grandpa used to live, and that's where I'm getting all these reports of the horses being killed, the Bigfoot reports. Last year had that Bigfoot report. They had told me where they'd seen it. I went there the next day, that morning actually, and there was tracks going up into the wildlife reserve where they have the area that's wildlife reserve. And down, they got this bridge, and this road is 666. Is what, pretty crazy. I took a picture of it. But last Friday night, I was out there, and they have this old swinging bridge. And I had seen an old, I don't know if coyotes got it or what, but there was an old deer carcass down there next to the river. Something had been just ripping this thing apart. But it's away from the road, so something, whatever it got, it had drug it down to the actual river there, the Powell River. And, but, so it's not really, you know, a reason, I guess you could say, you know, I didn't have any, hardly any activity then or anything like that, but just from different reports and hearing where they had seen that one carcass on the side of the road. So, of course, I had to drive through there. With it being full moon, too, I was hoping to catch something, you know, maybe crossing the road or see it up in the fields or something there with it being full moon. And that's when you got all that energy from the full moon. So, but I wasn't too lucky to come across anything other than, you know, an old deer carcass. But makes you wonder, you know, it's way down there, what's it doing? Could have been anything, but that's where them horses were ripped apart, same area. My great-grandma and grandpa, I'd never thought about it, but we used to have to hike up to their house when we were kids up in that area, and they didn't have electricity or running water. They had a well, they had an outhouse. We hated it as kids going to visit them because we're like, oh gosh, we're going to Grandma Delp's. Everybody better use the bathroom, you know, because nobody wanted to use an outhouse. And we would hike up there, and that's when my grandpa would tell me that one area. He said, don't go down there. The devil's down there. And I thought he was just saying that to keep me away from it. Well, at nighttime, they told us, they said, the old man of the woods is back in here. And they said, so you need to get down there. Hike. It's a pretty good little hike down to the road from their cabin out there to the main road for us to hike down. He said, you know, you better get down there before it gets dark because he's been coming back around here at nighttime. And as we hiked down that road, you know, we got down there before it got dark. Didn't think too much of it. We just thought probably some old, you know, I don't know, a hermit, somebody just, or a homeless person out there wandering around in the woods. And old. But that next morning, we go up there to visit them again before, because we lived in Indiana at the time. Before we had to head back home from vacation, we went up there to visit them that next morning, and their nails, all these nails, was taken out of the box that he had sitting on his porch, and all the points were sticking up on the flat end. They were sitting down all along that porch. So we're like, what in the world? And that's when it was my great aunt. She come out and she's like, yeah, that told you that old man of the woods is still back and he's out here terrorizing stuff again. And that old shaggy man is what they call him. And I never thought about it before, but with all these Bigfoot sightings and stuff, these reports out there, then I wonder if that's, you know, maybe that's what that was then. My grandpa one time, because this was my great-grandpa's house, but my grandpa one time, he was walking down that trail and it got dark, and he said he bumped into somebody. They didn't say a word. He said he was too scared, and so he got the heck out of there, but there was somebody on the trail with him. He didn't say whether they had hair or not. He just said, I bumped into somebody or something is what had went along with that, walking that trail. So it was always funny because he'd start drinking, he'd start talking about it, and he said, I still don't know what that was or who it was or what it was, is what he'd always say. But you could tell it's spooking pretty good. But that was my most recent little, I guess you could say my little investigation area or whatever that I've done recently. But I've got actually some, got a expedition, got a couple of them actually. So hopefully we'll get some more recent activity going on.
That's right. I mean, and it's important to have activity so you can find out what's going on. Now, Kyler, do you understand that statement?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you certainly got to have you've got to have some kind of activity to be able to generate the sightings, and I think that's important. And Matt, and I think you'll agree with me. So, you know, we've had some interesting discussions tonight. And Matt, we'll ask you for one last story before we head to the hill. How about that?
Okay. Trying to think what kind of story are you wanting to?
A Bigfoot story.
Okay, a Bigfoot story.
Actually, I have a question real quick.
Okay.
Certainly.
Do you know or have you heard any reporting or stories from Bigfoot and vampire being in the same area?
No, but I have heard of a Bigfoot and a witch being in the same area, and that's up there at Lee County where I live at. That witch that they talked about, and a Bigfoot as well. And they did an episode of Mountain Monsters. I know that show's entertainment, but they take stories from the area and they put them together, and there was a witch that was supposedly had a Bigfoot that basically a sidekick or whatever you want to call it that was through the woods. Now, I was up in the woods one time this couple years ago, probably about 2018 or so, and these two brothers were with me, the Lawson brothers. Well, we're up there, and I'm kind of looking around this area. Well, they come back, and they're like, okay, we're leaving. I'm like, why are you guys leaving? They're like, did you not hear that? I was like, I didn't hear nothing. They said there was a woman that had laughed. The wind blew. They heard this old woman laughing through the woods, and they were done with it. They were like, okay, we're going home. So
yeah, that would turn me around real quick.
But yeah, that's where you get most of your reports. And I see whenever I first started investigating, I would always get the old stories, and you go there and there's no longer any activity, and I would just chase my tail. But then as I've done it, you know, the farther, you know, the year, more experience I've got, boots on the ground, I've started to notice, you know, where they're going to have activity and stuff. I can recognize an area pretty good if they're going to have some type of activity. Like we had talked about before with the national park, the certain little parks, campgrounds closing. And I believe I talked about it last time where I had went to that Cave Springs not too far up there in Lee County, and they just shut the whole campground down while I had hiked up in there, not last week, week before. And I tell you what, there's something going on up there. It was, they just let the whole place grow up. I took some pictures of an old swimming hole there. They had made a spring-fed swimming pool there. They would charge people, you know, they're losing money. But I have pretty much figured out where to look for these things. So I'm wanting to do an investigation around that area as well here coming up very soon. Especially with that being freshly closed the past, I think, 2 years, maybe.
That sounds very interesting, Matt. Be sure to let us know when you're going to go up there and what you find, okay?
Okay, yeah, definitely. I don't know if I've told about this one or not. It was back in 2003 whenever I was investigating the Campbell County in La Follette, Tennessee.
I'm sorry, not trying to interrupt, but I'm saying go ahead and let's hear about it.
Okay, well, in 2003, okay, I'd moved down here in 97, and it was in 2003, all of a sudden these had these on the news. These reporters were coming on there, and they were saying reports of a ape-like animal roaming around, you know, Campbell County, Tennessee. And that's probably about 40, 45 minutes from my house. So I got a couple guys that work for me that lives in that same town. And so they said, yeah, some weird activities going on there. Well, every day it was something in newspaper. So, of course, I was keeping my eye on it. And they started trying to help me out a little bit, you know, okay, you're wanting to look in this area, because I wasn't familiar with the area. So the guys that live there, they're like, yeah, you need to do this and this. Well, the people that were, they were putting it on the news, and it was solid for 2 weeks straight. They had these witnesses, and of course, to make a mockery of it, they get these people, these backwoods people, to come out there and put them on the news, make a mockery of it, so you'll laugh whenever they start doing their interview to make fun of them, the ridicule. And they would be like, yeah, I come out here, and there was a cat that threw a cat at me, and it's been killing my pets, my dogs, and it went out there, and it took a dump in my front yard. They took it off for DNA check, and, of course, they never said nothing else. They tried to blame it on a spider monkey. It was in the news. They said, yeah, they brought in so-and-so and thought maybe his spider monkey. All the people that seen this thing, they said, no, this thing was humongous. They said it wasn't a spider monkey. They said it looked like a, but more like an orangutan, like a skunk ape out of down in the Everglades. And 2 weeks straight, I mean, continuously, like this thing had gone rogue or something. You know, it just kept going out there. People reported running alongside their car. And then all of a sudden they brought in this biologist out of University of Tennessee from Knoxville down there, and they had a picture of like the Patty type from the Patterson-Gimlin film. They had the skunk ape type, and they were asking all these witnesses, they're like, well, which one did you see? And they would always point to the skunk ape, the orangutan looking one from Everglades. And they were like, okay, well, they had, I think it was about 2 weeks in, all of a sudden it just quit. Nothing else on the news. Nothing else. I said, well, that's kind of odd. Why did they shut it down real quick like that? So I start nosing around. I start asking the guys that work for me and stuff, and they're like, yeah, it was acting weird. They had seen black helicopters. And one guy had known, he said that, he goes, you need to talk to this woman. So I go, and I meet this woman, and she's kind of freaked out. She's like, I don't want anything out of this. She goes, but they killed it. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, they killed it in my backyard. The sheriff of the town of Follett and these guys that look like a SWAT team had come in there, and they told her, keep the pets, whatever. And, she said they just went out there and could hear it scream. They were gunshots. She said she seen something dark fall in the back of her backyard, and she said a helicopter took it out. And that day that she said it happened, those guys that worked for me said there was a helicopter there that took it out. But it, you go to the links on the where it was in the news, everyone you click, it says link not found, link not found. Click on them, it says link not found, link not found. So somebody shut that down or something. I don't know how that works in the newspaper, being online at the time, but it was all, you can't get on there and see it anymore. You can't see the reports. You can see the headline of it, but you click on it and you can't see the story.
So whatever they found is pretty much just covered up.
Yep. And then in 2000, can't remember if it's 12 or 15. It was somewhere around in that area. There was a man that had come on. It was a Labor Day weekend in September. They had him on the news, and it was in La Follette, Tennessee, Campbell County, and he said he was attacked by something with black coarse hair. He said it wasn't a bear, and he had these scratches or these cuts all the way down his belt. He had 200 and some stitches in his torso from this thing. And he told them that it wasn't a bear. He showed up at like 6 in the morning. They had found him, and he was all messed up or still alive. Well, they had him on the news. He had his shirt off, and he was telling me, like, I don't know why they're saying this thing's a bear. It wasn't no bear. He said, I know what a bear is. It's not a bear. Well, he, 6 months later, it shuts up about it. And I get a looking, and they say that they said it was a false report from him. But they didn't say what had cut this guy up. So I get a looking in the report, and it says that he had come off of College Station Road, which is the same road and area in 2003 all those skunk ape encounters was taking place. Same exact area. So, you know, you can put two and two together. Something up there, they wasn't too friendly. But, of course, if they're up there trying to kill him, I can see why. But, so, they tried to shut that up. They kept that kind of quiet. Now, I've heard a lot of people report that Bigfoot, like young elk, and there's elk up in that area. And one night I had went up there to look at the elk. And when I was trying to come back down the old logging road, there had been a tree snapped about, I'd say it's probably about thigh high. And this was not a dead tree. It had been completely snapped and broke across the road. I looked to see if it was cut. It wasn't cut. It was just snap, broke down over the road. So that area is, it's definitely got something going on around there. A lot of people talk about these lights they see up there in the mountain area, that these lights coming from the mountain, the same area where these skunk apes, like I said, area of high strangeness. So whether they are portals, if they're just energy, you know, maybe gases, something coming from the mountain, nobody knows, but they can't ever, they say they come from the same area, sometimes they'll just go all through the mountains and then disappear. So that whole area is high strangeness, like we said, everything all links together.
I wonder if there's ever, like, agents or, you know, the men in black just pulsing up in these areas all the time just because they know either, you know, once something happens, it's going to get out. So they'll have to get in there and handle it really quick as soon as possible. Or, like, do they just keep tabs on all these places and then, you know, call somebody over to handle it that way?
Well, I've noticed that.
I don't understand.
Well, I've noticed that I think whenever it starts hitting news, I think they'll send somebody there. You'll get something that goes rogue like that was in 2003, you know, it being seen out in the public and stuff. But this area, I've noticed there's some unmarked government vehicles up around, like where that Cave Springs has been closed down. We've seen some SUVs that have been up through there that are government, but they're not, doesn't look like county, anything like that. You know, you got your regular, these are got to be federal marshal something, because it's not your county or your state vehicle. You know, at least it doesn't have it on the outside, but you can tell that these are government vehicles, dark windows, antennas, it's got the government license plate. So, don't know. Well,
yeah, it'd be great to just. Yeah, it'd be great to be able to just, you know, walk up to them and be like, hey, what's going on? Of course,
yeah.
That'd be too easy.
Exactly. Exactly right. Now, the that one did approach me that time I was over in Standing Stone, that old campground, because I just got out of the vehicle to look at the old swimming hole, and I had, of course, Bigfoot reports up there, Standing Stone National or State Park, and that old campground that had it shut down. Well, as soon as I got there, a friend of mine had pulled up. I got out of the passenger side. It's 10:30 at night. I take my little thermal imager and I'm scanning the old swimming hole there, see if I can see any animals, any type of activity going around the pond. As soon as I got out, start scanning. This is either game warden or park ranger, but they come whipping in there, and they're like, "What are you guys doing?" And my friend goes, "Ah, he's just looking to see if I showed him the old swimming hole." He goes, "It's 10:30 at night," and he said, "Well, he's got this, you know, thermal imager, and so he can see through there." And he said, "Oh, okay." And of course, you know me, I'm like, "Here, you want to check it out?" And he said, "Nah, nah, that's good." I go, "Yeah, I just want to see if I can see any wildlife out here." And he said, "Well, you might see a beaver." He said, "You might see some deer." And then at the very end, he said, "You might see a Bigfoot." And I was like, "Bigfoot?" You know, I kind of joked. I was like, "Really, a Bigfoot?" He goes, "That's what they say." And I said, "Well," I said, "have you seen anything?" And he paused, and you could tell he was trying to decide if he should say something or not. And then he changed it to, he goes, "Let's just say I've heard some stuff." So I could tell he has had something go on there, and he was on top of it really quick. As soon as I got out and started scanning, I hadn't even made a whole scan of the pond there. And for him to come out and run me off out of there, you know.
That yeah, quickly. he would be a great person to interview.
But trying to get him to talk. I don't know if he was game warden or if he was park ranger, because it was nighttime. They had the lights on. I thought, oh, great. You know?
Well, he must be someone important or someone who's watching you. So either way,
yeah,
he kind of knows something.
Definitely watching, yeah. Now, I'd seen during the daytime, too, somebody was trying to hike up there, and there were some park rangers that had stopped them, wouldn't let them go up in there. You would think it'd be, if it's bringing
yeah.
tourists to the area, you'd think they'd let them to an old campground, you know? I mean, what harm's that going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe, maybe not. You know, you just don't know what their orders are, Matt. You know, they may have orders to not bring people up there regardless. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep.
So you got to be careful because they got to keep their jobs. So anyway, that's a great story. It really is, and it just underscores that we have some really neat things going on. We got great stories, and the more we listen to them and the more we hear about them, the better off we are. So I wanted to say thank you for Houston Bigfoot tonight and relaying these stories. We appreciate it. You can come back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, good. Well, we certainly want to have you. And Kyler, will you come back with us?
Absolutely. Every week.
Yep.
Bat time, same bat channel at 9 p.m. Eastern time. That is the British lady. I don't know if you heard it, but she was telling me we have 90 seconds until we get in. So thank you very much. And we'll see everybody next week. The one, the only Houston Bigfoot. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And thanks a lot. Matt, we'll see you next
thanks.
Week.
All righty. Guys, have a good night.
And Kyle, we'll see you next week, okay?
All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.